Hi, my name is Johnny.
Hi, my name is David.
You're listening to Check It In, Check It Out,
a radio show for kids
all about the Elgin County Library.
We hope you enjoy the show.
I'm going down to the library, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Gonna say hi to the dictionary, picking out a book, check it in, check it out.
Thank you to Johnny and David for their great introduction. Johnny and David are brothers who happened to drop by the Elmerald Town Hall Library last week to pick out some books. These two boys are homeschooled and loving it. You know, the library is a terrific resource for parents who have chosen to homeschool their children. I'm Julie Berry, host of Check It In, Check It Out, coming to you from 105.9 DeBrigg in Elmer, Ontario. And now, the conclusion to the Christmas miracle. You remember Thomas and his mother, the widow McDowell, had asked Mr. Toomey, a skilled woodcarver, if he would carve the figures of a nativity scene that Mrs. McDowell had lost. Mr. Toomey is a very quiet, gruff man who never smiles, but he agreed. And then, when Thomas, Mrs. McDowell's little boy, wanted to watch him, Mr. Toomey also agreed to let him, as long as Thomas promised to be perfectly still and not talk to him. Well, Thomas tried very hard, but he couldn't help himself. Get all warm and cozy and listen to the conclusion of the Christmas miracle. A few days later, there was a knock on the woodcarver's door. He smoothed down his hair as he went to answer it. At the door were the widow and her son. "May I watch again?" asked Thomas. As Mrs. McDowell warmed the tea and put a plate of fresh molasses cookies on the workbench, Thomas watched the woodcarver work on the figure of an angel. After a very long time, Thomas spoke. "Mr. Toomey, excuse me, is that my angel you're carving?" "Yes, and would you do me the favor of telling me exactly what I'm doing wrong?" "Well, my angel looked like one of God's most important angels because it was sent to baby Jesus." "And just how does one make an angel look important?" asked the woodcarver. "You'll be able to do it," said Thomas. "You are the best woodcarver in the valley." After another very long time, Thomas spoke. "Mr. Toomey, excuse me, may I ask a question?" "Do you ever stop talking?" asked the woodcarver. "My mother says I don't. She says I could learn about the virtue of silence from you." Under his beard, the woodcarver's face turned pink. The widow McDowell's face turned as red as the scarf she was knitting. "Well, speak up. What is your question?" "Will you please teach me to carve?" "I'm a very busy man," grumbled the woodcarver, but he put down the important angel. "You will carve a bird." "A robin, I hope," said Thomas. "I like robins." With a piece of charcoal, the woodcarver sketched a robin on a piece of brown paper. He handed Thomas a small block of pine and a knife. He showed him how to lop the corners from the block and slowly smooth the edges of the wood into curves. Thomas copied the woodcarver's strokes, head bent, tongue working from side to side of his lower lip as he concentrated. When the church bells chimed 6 o'clock, Jonathan Toomey was holding Thomas's hand in his, guiding the knife along the edge of a wing. He didn't hear them ringing. The widow McDowell said it was time to leave. Thomas brushed wood shavings from his shirt. Then he reached out and brushed 2 especially large pieces of wood shaving from Jonathan Toomey's beard. He thanked the woodcarver for teaching him how to carve. Later, after a supper of boiled potatoes and molasses cookies, Jonathan Toomey went to his workbench. He thought for a long time. He sketched, drawing after drawing. Finally, he picked up his carving knife. He picked up the angel. He carved until his eyelids drooped shut. A few days later, there was a knock on the woodcarver's door. Mr. Toomey jumped up to answer it. There stood the widow McDowell with a bouquet of pine boughs and holly sprigs dotted with berries, and there stood Thomas clutching his partly carved robin. While Thomas and Mr. Toomey carved, Mrs. McDowell put the bouquet in a jar of water. She scrubbed Mr. Toomey's kitchen table and set the jar in the center on a pretty cloth embroidered with lilies of the valley and daisies, which she found in a drawer below the cupboard. "Next, I'll carve the wise men and Joseph," the woodcarver said to Thomas. Perhaps before I begin, you'll tell me about all the mistakes I'm going to make. Well, said Thomas, my wise men were wearing their most wonderful robes because they were going to visit Jesus. And my Joseph was leaning over baby Jesus like he was protecting him. He looked very serious. It wasn't until the church bells had chimed and the widow and her son were preparing to go that Mr. Toomey saw the jar of pine boughs and the scrubbed table and the cloth embroidered with lilies of the valley and daisies. I found the cloth in a drawer. I thought it would look pretty on the table, the widow McDowell said, smiling. Never open that drawer, the woodcarver said harshly. When the two had left, Jonathan put the cloth away. That evening, after a supper of boiled potatoes, the woodcarver worked on Joseph and the wise men until his eyelids drooped shut. A few days later, there was a knock on the woodcarver's door. He dusted the crumbs from his beard and brushed the sawdust from his shirt. At the door were the widow McDowell and Thomas. All afternoon, Thomas watched the woodcarver work. When it was time to leave, Jonathan said to Thomas, I'm about to begin the last two figures, Mary and the baby. Can you tell me how your figures looked? They were the most special of all, said Thomas. Jesus was smiling and reaching up to his mother, and Mary looked like she loved him very much. Thank you, Thomas, said the woodcarver. Tomorrow is Christmas. Is there any chance the figures will be ready? The widow McDowell asked. They will be ready when they are ready. I understand, said the widow, and she handed Jonathan two packages. Merry Christmas, she said. Jonathan folded his arms across his chest. I want no presents, he said harshly. That is exactly why we are giving them, answered the widow. She put them down on the table and left. Jonathan sat down at the table. Slowly he opened the first package. Inside was a red scarf, hand-knit, warm and bright. He tied the scarf around his neck. The other package held a robin, crudely carved of pine. A smile twitched at the corners of Jonathan's mouth as he ran his fingers over the lopsided wings. He dusted the fireplace mantle with his sleeve and placed the robin exactly in the center so he could look at it from his chair. The woodcarver did not eat supper that day. Instead, he began to sketch the final figures, Mary and Jesus. He drew Mary, then wadded the sketch into a ball and tossed it on the floor. He drew the baby, wadded the sketch into a ball and tossed it with the first. He sketched again. Once more he crumpled the paper. Soon there was a small mountain of crumpled papers at his feet. He picked up a block of wood and tried to carve, but his knife would not do what he wanted it to do. He hurled the chunk of wood into the fireplace and sat staring into the flames. When he heard the church bells announcing the midnight Christmas service, he got up. Slowly he opened the drawer beneath the cupboard, the drawer he had told the widow never to open. From it he took the cloth, embroidered with lilies of the valley and daisies. He took out a rough woolen shawl and a lace handkerchief. He took out a tiny white baby blanket and a small pair of blue socks. He placed each piece gently on the floor. From the bottom of the drawer he lifted out a picture frame, beautifully carved, of deep brown chestnut wood. In the frame was a charcoal sketch of a woman sitting in a rocking chair, holding a baby. The baby's arms were reaching up, touching the woman's face. The woman was looking down at the baby, smiling. Jonathan sat down in his rocking chair and held the picture against his chest. He rocked slowly, his eyes closed. Two tears trailed into his beard. When he finally took the picture to his workbench and began to carve, his fingers worked quickly and surely. He carved all through the night. The next day there was a knock on the widow McDowell's door. When she opened it, there stood the woodcarver, his neck wrapped in a red scarf, holding a wooden box stuffed with straw. Mr. Toomey, said the widow, what a surprise. Merry Christmas. The figures are ready, he said as he stepped inside. From the box, Jonathan unpacked two curly sheep, happy sheep because they were with Jesus. He unpacked a proud cow and an angel, a very important angel, with mighty wings stretching from its shoulders right down to the hem of its gown. He unpacked three wise men, wearing their most wonderful robes, edged with fur and falling in rich folds. He unpacked a serious and caring Joseph. He unpacked Mary, wearing a rough woolen shawl, looking down, loving her precious baby son. Jesus was smiling and reaching up to touch his mother's face. That day, Jonathan went to the Christmas service with the widow McDowell and Thomas. And that day, in the churchyard, the village children saw Jonathan throw back his head, showing his eyes as clear blue as an August sky, and laugh. No one ever called him Mr. Gloomy again. Well, my dear library lovers out there in Radioland, it's time to say goodnight.
Check It In, Check It Out is made possible through the generous support of the Elgin County Library and the Mennonite Community Services of Elmer, Ontario.
Thank you, Corey Berg, for doing the credits for Check It In, Check It Out. And thanks to Johnny and David for introducing our show this week. Are you in the mood for a giggle? Here's a riddle to tickle your funny bone. Why does Santa have three gardens? So he can go ho, ho, ho.
Guten Tag, and welcome to Check It In, Check It Out, a radio program for Kenya by the Elgin County Library. Ich hoop, ihr habt das Programm geglaubt. Ich bin Mary Ham, und ich schaffe bei der Elmer Library. Wir haben eine Library in Straffordville, Springfield, und Port Burwell, und ihr könnt krank die, was ihr wollt, fahren. Die sind alle neu auf. Die Öffnungsstunden sind an der Library Dern zu sein. Ihr könnt auch phone, denn das Phone-Nummer ist 519-631-1460, Extension 109, wenn ihr noch mehr Informationen fehlt. Bitte kommt nennen und seid, was wir haben in unseren Libraries zum Jünt und Jüne Familie mithalten.
Out the door we danced and sang, the whole library rang. Oh, I'm going down to the library, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Gonna say hi to the dictionary, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. I'm going down to the library.